Our sermon text for today comes from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, it's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, the three points we are going to look at today is first, as God as a personal shepherd. Secondly, as us as his prosperous sheep. And third, God as a pursuing shepherd. Personal shepherd, prosperous sheep, and pursuing shepherd. But before we do that, let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful psalm that has blessed us so many times. Would you refresh us in it this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Undoubtedly, for many of you, this phrase is very near and dear to your heart. You've heard it repeated over and over again throughout your life, and it has brought you much comfort and joy. Yet I bet very few of us have actually had a very tangible or a visual experience of a shepherd and his sheep. So while this metaphor of the Lord as our shepherd and us as sheep might be really familiar to us, I thought it best to do a little recap or review of what exactly David is trying to draw out here with this metaphor. First, let's ask a question about shepherds. What are shepherds? Well, shepherds, they know everything about their sheep. A shepherd knows his sheep collectively as a group, but he also knows his sheep individually. He knows the ones that are stronger, and he knows the ones that are weaker. He knows the happier ones, he knows the sad ones. He knows when certain sheep are sick and when certain sheep are missing. It is the shepherd's very job to know all these things about the sheep, for he spends night and day with them. He leads them, he protects them, and he feeds them. Well, what about sheep? Perhaps there are many characteristics about sheep, but two primary characteristics throughout the Bible are these. The first is that sheep are defenseless. Sheep are mostly helpless against their predators. They have no sharp teeth. They have no great defense mechanisms. Instead, domesticated sheep have to almost solely rely upon their shepherd to protect them. So they are defenseless. The second characteristic about sheep that I want to draw out here is that they are wayward. They are wanderers. Sheep are often led astray. Though sheep are hardwired to follow after the leader, they also are by nature skittish animals. They are easily spooked. And when a sheep is spooked, it often diverges off from the flock and begins recklessly running to try to find some measure or sort of some sense of safety. And if that sheep does survive that encounter, perhaps with a predator, but it is spooked, if it does survive that encounter, it looks up, and oftentimes the shepherd and the rest of the flock are far out of sight, and the sheep has no way of finding out how to get back to them. Therefore, for the Lord to be a shepherd, it means that he is the leader and feeder and protector of his people. He knows everything about them, the strong ones, the weak ones, the happy ones, the sad ones, the sick ones, and the lost ones. The Lord knows it all. And for us to be sheep means that we are mostly defenseless and helpless when it comes to our enemies. We must almost solely rely upon our shepherd to protect us. And further, as the prophet Isaiah tells us, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So we too, like sheep, are wayward. We are wanderers from our shepherd. This indeed is the great plight of humanity. It is the human problem that we wander off from our shepherd who loves us. Yet I want to briefly mention another aspect of this verse when it says the Lord is my shepherd. The point is this, that the Lord is not only a shepherd, he's not a general shepherd, but he's supposed to be your shepherd. It is this intimate and warm and friendly language. As Martin Luther, the great reformer, has supposedly said, he said, the heart of Christianity lies in its personal pronouns. In other words, God is not just a general God, he's not a general shepherd, but he is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. This is language of God as a personal shepherd towards you. And though we do wander off like sheep, the question for some of you listening today is, can you say the Lord is your shepherd? Can you be as bold as David is in verse 1 of the psalm? But as that question might sit with you, let us deal with another question this morning. For others here, you most certainly profess alongside David that the Lord is your shepherd. So the question for you is different. The question is, can you say that you are following the Lord your shepherd in confidence and contentment today? Or do you find yourself just half-heartedly taking each step down the path of faith? Psalm 23, which is one of, if not the most famous passage in all the Bible, is known perhaps for that first line, the Lord is my shepherd. Or at least it's known for that striking imagery in verse 4 of the valley of the shadow of death. But did you know that neither of those lines actually represent the heart of the psalm? Verse 4 also says there, for you are with me. And in the Hebrew construction of this poem, verse 4 is actually the very heart and center of the theme. It is what David is trying to communicate to us. It is the main point of the psalm. Through all the sections of this psalm, we're supposed to see that the central idea is that the Lord is present with you. He is with his sheep. Verses 1 through 3 tell us that he is with you in abundant places. Verse 4 says he is with you in desolate places. Verse 5 says he is with you in the presence of enemies. And verse 6 says he is with you in his house for all of eternity. This is why this psalm exudes such confidence. The Lord is never absent from his sheep, but he's always right beside them through the bends and turns and the ups and downs of life. And it is only in this reality that the Lord is with you that David can then draw his two big personal applications to his life in verse 1 and verse 4 of the psalm. He says in verse 1 that because the Lord is with him, he said, I shall not want. And this language, of course, is an older English expression, simply saying, I shall lack in nothing. Or to put it in a positive way, it says, I am full and content. And then David draws this second big life application in verse 4 when he says, because the Lord is with me, I will fear no evil. Or again, to put it in a positive light, it says, I will be confident even in the midst of evil. So confidence and contentment. Those are the two big implications for the sheep of the Lord's pasture in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is attempting to show us that because the Lord is a personal shepherd, we are prosperous sheep. Prosperous sheep in all of life. We are lacking in nothing if he is ours. But perhaps for many of us, it is easy to think that the Lord is with me or I am confident and content when we are gazing upon the green pastures of life or relaxing beside the still waters. It is only then when we look up and finally say, oh, now truly I am a prosperous sheep. Yet the harder question for us is, what about when you wander into the thick forests of life and the branches and the leaves soon block the shepherd from your vision and you start feeling lost? Or what about when you wander into a barren land and your mouth soon grows dry with thirst and your stomach starts to rumble with hunger? That is when it seems almost impossible to feel confident in the guidance of the Lord or to feel as though your cup is running over with contentment. It is then that fear and lack seem to dominate and overwhelm our minds? Have we not all been in situations that cause us to question the provision of our shepherd? Yet a major point David is getting at in Psalm 23 is that even in the valleys of your life, even in the darkest valley of your life, the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with you, and somehow, some way, your cup is still running over there. In verse 4, David mentions what comforts him in times where he otherwise should be afraid. He tells us that it is God's rod and God's staff that bring him solace and assurance of safety. Again, perhaps this is familiar language to you, but what exactly is the rod and staff of God? Well, again, David is continuing the shepherding metaphor in the psalm. The shepherd's rod is a club-like tool that a shepherd would use to fight off any would-be predators from attacking his flock. And then the shepherd's staff is a tool that he would use to actually nudge his sheep back into line when they're tempted to go astray into other pastures. And have you ever thought about the Lord's nudge? Or in other words, you could say it's the Lord's discipline as a comfort to you. Surely we've all thought about the Lord's rod or his protection of us from enemies as a blessing. But do we ever think about his staff as a blessing? Him nudging us back into the right paths of life. David is telling us that the Lord's protection, guidance, and even his discipline makes us prosperous sheep, even in the thickest of forests and in the most barren of lands. Even in those places, the Lord is giving you more than you could ever need and guiding you upon the right path. That's exactly what David is telling us then in verse 5 of our psalm. He tells us that even when the flock is surrounded by predators, that God makes his sheep overflow. Overflow not with fear, not with worry, but actually with the riches of his love and protection and guidance. Even in the worst of situations, even in great danger, the Lord's sheep can, as it were, as verse 5 tells us, they can sit down at a table, eat, and rest. Do you have that kind of rest deep down in your soul? A rest that can transcend even the most awful of circumstances. David says elsewhere in Psalm 4, he says, "You, God, have put more joy in my heart in times of need than others have when their wine and grain abound." The point for us is this: whether it seems like it or not, that this shepherd has made you prosperous in all of your life's circumstances. You are prosperous not because of your own strength or because of your own successes, but because your shepherd is supplying you with his riches through it all. If you think about the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep, it is in many ways similar to the relationship between a parent and his child. The wealth of a child is entirely dependent, is it not, upon the wealth of the parents. The newborn child has no possessions that he comes into in this life to offer to his parents. It's the same way with us as sheep and the Lord as our shepherd. We come into the relationship with no possessions to offer to him. We are entirely dependent upon his own wealth to sustain us. And if the Lord is your shepherd this morning, then both the flourishing fields and even the darkest of valleys in which you walk are not foreign territory. We should take comfort that when we walk in both the pastures and the valleys of life, we actually walk in the Lord's country. Both places are the very possessions of him who is the richest of rich and the owner of all things. Therefore, having the Lord as your shepherd means that you will never, never run out of provision. There is not a circumstance in your life, whether you're in the lush pastures today or in the darkest of valleys, that the riches of the Lord, your shepherd, have reached their end or where you are outside of the Lord's care. And isn't it often a true fact that we actually find the Lord's provision more abundant and far richer after he has taken us through that valley in life? It seems to be only in retrospect that we can see how the Lord was supplying all our needs, body and soul, during the entire trek through trial. For it is only the Lord who can supply riches in the poorest of circumstances. In fact, this psalm suggests to us, and it's a radical suggestion, that the nourishment that you have available from the Lord is so abundantly rich that your circumstances in life do not actually have to contribute a single ounce to your cup for it to be full. That's a radical and otherworldly thought, that your cup can be full, even overflowing, regardless of your circumstances. Surprisingly, even in poverty, this psalm is telling us that the Lord's people are rich. The one who has the Lord as their shepherd then has learned the secret of contentment that Paul talks about in Philippians 4. The secret of confidence and contentment in every station of life. The sheep in the Lord's pasture are rich beyond all measure. Their cups continually run over with the Lord's provision. In beginning to address this question of how you or I can be made prosperous sheep in all of life's circumstances, the Heidelberg Catechism, question 26, gives us a truly wonderful, soul-comforting answer. It says, "The eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, in whom I so trust, as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and further, that whatever evil he sends upon me in this valley of tears, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father." So how can you have confidence and contentment in the Lord, your shepherd? First, you may have contentment by knowing that he is the shepherd who is with you always, in plenty and in want, in life and in death. Though you may not see it in the moment, he indeed is providing you with all you could ever need to be prosperous in every circumstance. For think for a moment how much comfort we get in difficult circumstances by another human being telling us, "Guess what? I am with you through it." If we can find comfort and joy that another human being is with us in difficulty, how much more should we derive contentment in the fact that the all-wise and the all-rich God of the universe says, "I am with you through everything you could go through." And related to that contentment, you may have confidence this morning by knowing that the Lord is not a fickle shepherd towards you. He is not ready to abandon his sheep at the sound of trouble in the valley. And that fact that the Lord is not a fickle shepherd is essential, not just for those who can say that the Lord is my shepherd this morning, but also for those who are unsure about who exactly this Lord is. For indeed, he is not a shepherd, as we have seen in this psalm, who only stays in the green pastures of life, or only who lays by the still waters. He is not an idle shepherd, but he indeed is a pursuing shepherd. A pursuing shepherd who will rise up from where he is sitting and he will go search out even for just one missing sheep. For verse 6 tells us about the character of the Lord when it says this. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So if you are asking the question, ultimately, at a most fundamental level, what kind of shepherd is the God of the Bible? Verse 6 shows us that the God of the Bible is a shepherd who follows you in goodness and in mercy. And this verse could even be translated, "Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life." So do you feel like a lost sheep at all this morning? Well, this good shepherd does not only follow you from behind with goodness and mercy, but he actually pursues you with it. He runs after you in his love. The good shepherd does not just leave you out in the cold or out in the rain of the storm. No, instead, this good shepherd picks up his lost sheep and he brings them into the warmth and comfort of his very own home. And who could ever think of a shepherd picking up his wet, dirty, and lost sheep from out of the storm and bringing them into his own pristine, holy house? Yet this is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for his sheep. He has followed them through the valley of the shadow of death. He has followed them through the wind and the rain and the cold. He has pursued them, though it cost him his own life. Jesus tells us in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And what a shepherd that is. What a self-sacrificial shepherd. How could you or how could I ever dismiss such a shepherd as that? The good shepherd who has taken on the storm for us, who through the dark clouds and the storm of God's wrath, he carried a wooden cross up his back, up a hill called Calvary. There he was mocked and he was taunted and he was nailed to that cross. Why? Why would he go through such excruciating torment for a little sheep like us? For you see, we are not just defenseless, ignorant sheep. We are rebels and sinners, wanderers from God and his perfect guidance. Our problem is much greater than our vulnerability to our enemies, for we have run off and find ourselves far away from the shepherd who loves us. But thankfully, Jesus Christ is not like you and he's not like me. He has not forsaken us. He has not run off from us at the sight of greener pastures. Instead, this shepherd, the eternally rich Son of God, when he saw us from the window of heaven in the storm, in the valley of the shadow of death, he had compassion upon us. He said, "They are sheep without a shepherd. I must go rescue them." For all of us went into that dark valley of sin willingly, that valley that would have consumed us all in death for eternity. But when the good shepherd appeared, Jesus Christ, he pulled us from that dark valley and brought us dripping wet and covered in mud into his own home. And there he cleansed us and he wrapped us in his finest robes and said, "Welcome to the house of the Lord. Take rest and do not fear, for now you are safe. For if Christ is yours, then he will lead you as your shepherd in all of life. He will lead you from the front, and he will guard you from the back. He will hem you in with his staff on all sides. No one who has Christ as their shepherd will fail to reach the green pastures or fail to reach the still waters of heaven. But all will come into the house of the Lord to dwell as prosperous sheep with their personal shepherd forevermore." So the questions come to you again. Is the Lord your shepherd? And if so, does this pursuing shepherd give you confidence and contentment? If he does, your cup will run over today and into eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have sent Jesus Christ to be our good shepherd, the good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. Help all of us here to call him my shepherd and to follow him all our days with confidence and contentment through the ups and downs and the bends and turns of life. May we all long as well to see the sight of the green pastures of heaven and to see our Christ coming to us again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.